Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Genesis 44. I read verse 33 as text verse for the sermon. Genesis chapter 44, verse 33. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. The title of the sermon is Intercession. 3 points of attention. The first point, who is making the intercession? Second point, how he is making intercession? And the third point, who the perfect intercessor is. So the title is Intercession. 3 points, who is making the intercession? How he is making intercession? And who the perfect intercessor is. Congregation, children, the word intercession is a difficult word, isn't it? Might be that you don't understand it. So let me try to explain. Let's say you have older brothers, and one of your older brothers already having his driver's license, so driving a car, using the car of your father. But one day when he was driving the car, it was slippery on the road. And he wasn't careful enough, and so he bumped into another car, and he damaged the car of his father. And that was really trouble for your older brother, because he had to tell his father about the accident he had, and his father would see the damage, and his father would be angry, why were you not more careful? But then your other brother, he started to talk, and he pleaded for his brother. He said, well, Dad, but you know, it was so slippery, and it was so hard to drive that morning. It was so difficult. So he probably was pretty careful, but it was just an accident. So he's pleading. You could say the one brother is making intercession for the other brother, pleading for him, so that his father wouldn't be so angry with him. Intercession. That's what we read here in this chapter, chapter 44. It's Judah who is making intercession for Benjamin. We might remember from last month how the brothers came in great distress because the cup of that mighty and powerful ruler of Egypt, which is Joseph, but they didn't know that, that cup was found in the bag of Benjamin, their youngest brother. And they didn't know what to say anymore. They couldn't say anything. They really felt that the Lord had found their iniquity. The Lord brought in mind what they had done for in selling Joseph, what evil they had done. So here they are now standing before Joseph, although they didn't know, standing before this mighty ruler of Egypt. And now they have to give an account about what happened. And it seems that Benjamin had to stay there in Egypt because he seemed to be guilty of stealing the cup of this mighty man, this ruler of Egypt. So he had to become a slave, a bondman. He had to stay there. And that was terrible, because they all knew how hard it was for their father to let their younger brother join them, go with them to Egypt. But he had to go with them, because that ruler commanded them, bring your younger brother, otherwise you shouldn't come. So now Benjamin had to stay here, and they had to go home. How could they see their father? How could they see his sorrow? Oh, they were in great distress. in great trouble. And then Judah, he came near unto him, unto Joseph, and he is starting to plead for Benjamin. He is making intercession. And when we read his history and think about the intercession of Judah, we will also see in the last point of this sermon that Christ is a great intercessor who is pleading for his people with God in heaven. He's a great praying high priest. So here we see Judah. Who is Judah? Well, it's one of the sons of Jacob. It's the fourth born son of Leah, the first wife of Jacob. And we know that because of the fact that the father-in-law of Jacob, he had deceived Jacob. So Leah was not the only wife of Jacob. He also married her sister, Rachel. And we do know that he loved Rachel more than Leah. But Leah had more children. She gave birth to 6 sons, and Judah is the 4th of her sons. And there are also 2 maids that were given by those 2 wives to Jacob to bear children for him. And so they each had also 2 sons. And Rachel had 2. So altogether 12 sons of Jacob. And Judah is the 4th of Leah. So what do we know about Judah? We know when we read chapter 37, we do know that he is the one that proposed to his brothers when they had caught Joseph and cast him in the pit, that he proposed to sell him. Let's not kill him, but let us sell him. And we make some money, and we are not guilty of his blood. So that's what he did to the Ishmaelites, instead of killing him. And then in the next chapter, we read that Judah turned away from the family, from his father, his brothers, and he was kind of wandering around, joining a friend. And he ended up to marry a Canaanite woman. And he got 3 sons with this woman. But 2 of them die. And then his wife also dies. And something very sad, very terrible happens. Judah is sinning in doing fornication. And it was with his daughter-in-law of those 2 that had been married to the 2 sons that passed away, Tamar. He didn't know that. And that daughter-in-law is conceiving by him. And when that is discovered, she is brought to him, and he says she has to be punished. She has to be burned for her sin. And then she can show that he was the one by whom she is expecting a child. And then he says, well, she's better than I am. So she didn't have to die. Judah is certainly not a man without sin. There are shameful things in his life, isn't it? How could he see? How could he propose and see happen that his younger brother Joseph was sold to be a slave in Egypt? And how terrible when he went away from the family, that he came in such a sinful situation, that he sinned in such a terrible way. Fornication. But this Judah, here in this chapter, we see him pleading. So he returned to the family, and here he is, together with his brothers, he went to Egypt. And we read in chapter 43, verse 8, verse 9, that he is promising his father that he will be surety for Benjamin. And this is wonderful. It seems something has changed in the life of Judah. He is concerned about his father. He is willing to put himself in a position to be a surety for his brother. And so that's what happens. That's what we read here. When the brothers are in Egypt, he did not only promise it to his father, but he kept his word. He is speaking here to Joseph. Oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word. And then he's going to explain about the situation of his father. And he is saying in our text verse, well, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. So there has been changing things in the life of Joseph, isn't it? So many years ago, he could propose and he could see it happen that his younger brother was sold to be a slave to go to Egypt. And they did see his fear. They did hear his beseeching them. Joseph was crying and asking his brothers, oh, don't do that. Didn't touch them. They just let it happen. It seemed to be so hard. But things have changed now in the life of Judah. And here he is pleading for his brother Benjamin. And we see in Judah a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is pleading for sinners before his Father, that they will be set free from punishment and sin. And he has taken their place to be punished. He became the surety, the substitute for sinners. And then when we read in chapter 49 that Jacob is at his deathbed and he is blessing his sons, then we hear him speaking to Judah. Judah, thou art he. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. And that means that Christ would be born from this tribe of Judah. And Judah was a wonderful type of Christ in being a surety, a substitute for his younger brother Benjamin. And he is blessed that from his descendants, the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. And then we read in the last chapter of the Bible, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, we read in chapter 5, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the power, the authority to open the book, which means he would fulfill the history of this world, bring it to its high purpose, that God would redeem his people and that it would be new heavens and a new earth. We see it all here in a picture, that great work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of Judah. Judah is someone who sinned in a terrible way. There's a lesson in that. Isn't that also that we read it in Proverbs, that if a man will wander away from his place, that he is so open to fall in situations of sin, which happened to Judah. But he returned, and it seemed that the Lord had softened his heart. There's a change happening in the life of Judah, and he is going to make intercession. So let us see how he is doing that. How is he making intercession? It's touching to see in what a tender and humble way Judah is pleading with Joseph. Like we read in verse 18, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. Here they stand before Joseph, and they hated the thought that they would ever bow before him and give him honor and glory. But here it happens. God had given this situation that those dreams of Joseph were fulfilled. And then he's starting to plead for his father. And how good it is to hear a son speaking and pleading and making intercession for a younger brother and pleading for the well-being of his old father. And he is explaining the whole situation, how they all are brothers. They have an old father, and here is their youngest brother. And their father didn't want to let him go, because he had only two sons with that one beloved wife, and one of the sons is dead, Joseph. That is not true. It's good to see that there is a change in the heart and the life of Judah. But he is not speaking the full truth. He's not revealing everything. It seems still too hard to tell all the truth. To tell we have sold that one brother to be a slave in Egypt. No, he's telling the lie in the way that they deceived their father. You think about it. In a certain way you can say God is at work in those brothers. And Joseph in his wisdom is at work to humble them. And where he kept Simeon and put him in prison and spoke in a harsh way to them, he's trying to humble them. And the Lord used it. At a certain point they said, well, we have sinned against our brother. We should not have sold our brother. We saw his fear. So God is at work with those brothers and with Judah. But he doesn't yet reveal all the truth. How hard it is, isn't it, to be honest about what we have done wrong, what we have sinned in our lives. Oh, the Lord has so much work with us to bring us where we have to be, at the feet of Christ, as a poor and guilty sinner, to become totally honest about what we have done in our life against God and our neighbor. Oh, he is not speaking the full truth, but he is pleading for his old father. God is at work with this man. Can you see the change in what touching words he is speaking about his father, and the sorrow that it would bring to his father when this younger brother wouldn't return? If you see how he years ago just could let his brother go, and how he was ready to burn his daughter-in-law who was conceiving child, although he had sinned even worse in that situation of fornication. But here he is pleading with Joseph for his poor father. Oh, our hearts by nature are so hard, like the heart of Judah, that he could just sell his brother. He didn't care. He didn't bother about his brother missing his father every day and every night. And he was ready to have his daughter-in-law burned because of the sin of fornication, although he did that sin just himself as well. How hard is man? how cruel, how deeply we have fallen, and how we are measuring, you could say, with two standards, using two standards. A very narrow one for our neighbor. His daughter-in-law had to be burned, and not thinking about his own sin of fornication, just ready to cover that. Isn't that a picture of how we all are by nature? We have our excuses for our sins, our weaknesses. We are so ready to cover them with many excuses, but we are also very ready to point to others and to condemn them, like Judah had done. What a wonder that God can change hearts, and that He is changing hearts. He is it by His Holy Spirit who is softening hearts. Did it happen in your life? That God worked in your heart by His words? That He humbled you in whatever way it might be? It might be by certain circumstances, like it seems to be here with the brothers. There was hunger. They had to go to Egypt. And there was such a stern king, a king who was speaking in such harsh words with them. And the brother Simeon had to stay there. There was so much trouble. It seemed everything was against them. God used it to humble them. They started to think and to acknowledge what they had sinned against their brother and against God, and also against their father. Did it happen in your life? That God was humbling and softening your heart? Did that hardness and that cruelty and that being ready to condemn your neighbor, that it changed in affection to your neighbor and tenderness for those that are weaker, like we see here in the life of Judah for his younger brother Benjamin? Oh, that's a miracle that God can do that with any heart. Maybe someone is sitting here and thinking, my heart is too cold, too hard. It's been too long that I've sinned against that I knew better. No, that's not true. That's a lie of the devil. The Bible is teaching so clearly that God is taking a heart of stone away and giving a heart of flesh, full of love for the Lord and surrendering to the Lord to find peace with God by grace, by Christ, by faith. So God is still doing that. Let no one be desperate here. If you think about the situation of your heart, God has all the means to change such a heart. He is sending His Spirit. He is sending His Word to incline hearts to the fear of His name. We hear Judah speaking here. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then shall I bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? So here he is ready to take the position of Benjamin, to stay there in Egypt, to be a slave, where in the past he sold his brother Joseph to be a slave, in envy, in jealousy. Can you imagine that someone is doing this? So, to become a slave there in Egypt, so that his brother could go and be free for the rest of his life, have no freedom, just to be a slave? Yes, that's what Judah is doing here. God is changing hearts. And oh, let us look unto Christ, who is so much more than Judah, who is the perfect intercessor. It's such a wonderful illustration of the work of Christ. Here we are, all by nature. We all are in a situation of, yeah, like the brothers there before Joseph. They don't have any words anymore. The cup is found. It's clear they are guilty. There's nothing that they can say against it. There's a situation. And that's our situation in a much deeper way. By nature, before God, we have rebelled against God. We have disobeyed God. We have believed Satan and obeyed him. And so we are in deep trouble. We are in darkness, and we are by nature under the wrath of God. That's how we all are. That's the way we are born. And it has to change in this lifetime on earth. This life on earth is a preparation for eternity. But how can it change? It can only change by the work of Christ, by his intercession. We don't have words to speak, but we need Christ to plead for us. And Scripture is revealing that he is that great intercessor, that he ascended to heaven to be an advocate, to be that high priest, that he went into that most holy place of heaven with his own work, his own sacrifice, his own payment that he made for sin, showing it to his Father, how he had given himself to die upon the cross and pay the price. Father, I want that those that thou hast given me will be with me and will behold my glory. Christ is making intercession in a much more powerful way than Judah could ever do. And the first thing that is so different is that where Judah was a sinful person, had so many sins in his life, Christ has not even one sin. He is totally blameless. He is standing before God as the one that has lived a perfect, obedient life on earth. What you and I should do, and we don't, none of us, no man on earth is living in perfect obedience to God. Only one has done that, that's Christ. And he is there before his Father. And he is there pleading. And not only lived a perfect, obedient life, but he also paid for the debt, the guilt, the sin of all his children, all those that would believe in him. And Judah couldn't do that. He couldn't pay for the debt. He was willing to be a substitute, but he couldn't take the crime away. And Christ has done that in his death, which is the payment for sin, in his descending into hell. Oh, what a wonderful intercessor. Someone who is pleading on behalf of sinners that deserve to die, that deserve the curse of God, that deserve eternal punishment, hell. Christ is now, at this moment, in heaven with his sufficient work that he has accomplished to show it to the Father. And we really were touched when we saw the compassion that Judah had for his old father and his young and weaker brother Benjamin. But if we think about the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's perfect. That is something from eternity, that he gave himself, and that he said, I come to do thy will. Sometimes people think that they have to bring the Lord to compassion. Oh, if I do this or that, if I cry enough tears, if I have enough sorrow about my sin, maybe the Lord will have compassion with me. No, that's a wrong understanding. He has compassion in himself and from himself. He has that tender compassion in his heart to save sinners, enemies, out of their misery. Christ is a perfect mediator, making intercession for his people. And he has all the right. He has all the power. You see Judah pleading here. And he says, thou art even as Pharaoh. And what could he say? He could just plead, but Christ can do much more. He has the authority. He has the power because he has paid the price in full. And so he is sure that what he is beseeching, that he is receiving it. The Father has given those that will be saved to his Son. Because Christ from eternity has made that dedication to come and to fulfill the law of God. And what a deep comfort there is in this truth from Scripture, that Christ is a perfect intercessor, that he has the authority, that his work is sufficient, and that he is pleading, and most loving, full of tender compassion. Oh, think about it. And that's not everything. Besides that, he has sent his Holy Spirit, poured out the Holy Spirit, who's also called Advocate, to dwell in the hearts of people, to incline their hearts to confess their sin, to convict their hearts about their need, and even to plead, to pray within them. Oh, what is lacking in this intercession if you think about it? If you think about Christ in heaven, if you think about the Holy Spirit poured out, and they are God Almighty, and everything is fulfilled that had to be fulfilled for salvation of sinners. Why would there be any one of us who would perish? Are you in darkness? Are you under a burden of guilt? Oh, look. See that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how can I see him? Well, he is revealed in the Word. And you say, but, oh, I'm so blind. Well, remember that he gave the Holy Spirit to enlighten, to open eyes, to reveal, to take out of Christ what you need for your soul. He is that perfect intercessor. Oh, come today at his feet as a poor and helpless sinner that you have no words to say to defend yourself anymore. Instead of that, you have words to accuse yourself, to condemn yourself. Did you come to that point that you had to agree about what Scripture is saying about our guilt and sin before God? But from that position, look unto Christ, who took sin upon himself so that you and I could be free, not by works, but by faith, resting in his work. So I have a few questions at the end of this sermon. The first question is, do we know this miracle of a pleading high priest in heaven for you personally? It's most important. You can have no rest outside of that knowledge by faith. Christ for me. Do you know that comfort of the Spirit in your heart, that he took away your condemnation so that you are accepted by God as his dear child? That's the first, most important question. I have a few more. Are you ready to make intercession for others in daily life? If you know that amazing love and tender compassion of Christ plight in your heart and life, it cannot be that you are like Judah in his younger years, that he could just let his younger brother go to be sold as a slave. You don't care about those that are in a position of weakness where you could help. Judah could have tried to stop this happen, but instead of that, he proposed it. And that had changed in his life. Did it change in your life? By nature, we're all selfish. But if you could say yes to that first question, that you know Christ as that perfect intercessor, and you know grace, grace for your soul, but also grace for your neighbor, isn't it? And then my last question. So the second one was about making intercession in daily practical situations of life, maybe at school to help a student who is in trouble, that you try to plead, to speak for someone who cannot speak for himself, or in your work or whatever. But then, do you also pray for people? People around you, if you know that Christ in heaven is that great praying high priest, and that your only hope is in his intercession, then you see how precious it is to have an intercessor, a mediator. Now you see the need of people around you with a soul for eternity. And if you see them going in their own ways, going astray, like Judah went astray with his friend and married a Canaanite wife against the will of God. And you see people around you, I'm sure, in this society, that have gone astray away from the Word of God, just in their own way, following the desire of their own heart. We all recognize that. It's a miracle if that has changed in our lives, but it cannot be that you would think that's none of my business. If you know about an intercessor in heaven, and you see that they need Christ, do you pray for people around you, your neighbor, your colleague, students at school, your relatives? Do you plead for them at the throne of grace, so that they might receive grace out of the fullness of Christ. Oh, there is a blessing for people that you pray for. God is a hearer of prayers, but there is also a blessing for you, that you may see more of the riches and the preciousness of Christ in praying for your neighbor. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we need Christ and His intercession. We cannot defend ourselves. It's all so true. All those accusations of the law, of our conscience, so many sins. We cannot count them, O Lord. Might be that we live outwardly a decent life, the hardness of our hearts, the unbelief, not trusting Thee. What a terrible sin, how dishonoring Thee, O Lord. We need an intercessor. We need Christ, that pleading high priest in heaven. Lord, what a wonderful thing to see Him by faith. There is peace filling our hearts, peace of forgiveness of our sins, peace of eternal glory prepared. Lord, it's so necessary. This life is so short. Every moment can be the last moment of this life on earth. And we need to know this intercession of Christ by faith, the foundation of our salvation. Lord, but give us also compassion to people in darkness, so many souls wandering around in this world like a ship on the sea, the broken engine, and one day they will be destroyed on the rocks of eternity. If Thou will not save them, bring them to the safe harbor by Christ. Lord, we pray, bless Thy word to our hearts. Oh, that many will come to know this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give Him all the glory for all eternity. Pray that Thou would forgive everything that was not according to Thy will in speaking and listening. And keep us when we go home, Lord, that we may meditate upon Thy word, so that it will be powerful in our hearts, that we will be transformed to the image of Christ. Walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.